Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The 2021 legislative session kicked off last week with lawmakers gathering in Pierre, the governor's State of the State address, the state of the judiciary, the state of the tribes. SDPB's reporters are covering the session, and they join us on In the Moment at the start of each week for a recap of the week before and a preview of the week to come. Lee Strubinger is SDPB's politics and public policy reporter. He joins us today from Pierre. Hey, Lee.
Hi, Lori.
Seth Tupper is SDPB's business and economic development reporter. He's joining us from the Black Hill Surgical Hospital studio inside SDPB's Rapid City studio. Welcome back, Seth.
Good to be here.
And Jackie Hendry is the host of SDPB's South Dakota Focus. You can see it on Thursday nights on SDPB TV. Jackie is joining us on the phone today. Hey, Jackie.
Hi, Lori.
Lee, I want to get started with you first. Three major addresses, as is the standard of the legislative session kickoff. Anything that stands out, you know, a week later from the State of the State or the Judiciary or the State of the Tribes address that you wanted to cover today as we recap last week?
Yeah, I thought there was something that stood out from all three speeches, to be honest. Obviously Governor Noem's State of the State address. She laid out some various policy proposals that she wants lawmakers to consider. Two of the ones that I think are getting the most attention, one would be the abortion ban for fetuses with Down syndrome. She announced that very quickly early on in the speech. And then another one was dusting off the civics education proposal that she wanted to bring back. And she made her announcement of the civics education proposal kind of right around the time, obviously the 1776 report that was just dropped yesterday, the President Trump's advisory commission on American history and civics and education and that sort of thing. So those two things kind of time together fairly well. It remains to be seen, what those are going to look like. Obviously, we're just in the beginning of the second week, so a lot of bills are still being drafted and prepared to be dropped, so to speak. Chief Justice Jensen, it was his first State of the Judiciary. And, two of the things that really stuck out to me, he really called for an increase of pay for circuit court judges. He said it was tough to get qualified judges to sort of leave private practice based on the pay that, a circuit court judge would make. And so he was asking lawmakers to bump up their pay so they could bring in some more, higher quality applicants for any kind of vacancies that might occur. He also wanted to fund a centralized court security manager. So someone who would presumably work for or be here in the Capitol and work for the unified judicial system, who would sort of coordinate courtroom security and some of our county courthouses that, in a county that might have, a sheriff and maybe a sheriff's deputy and mm-hmm. those sorts of things. He said it's not really much of an issue in some of our larger counties in the state because they have officers who can hang out in the courts there. But just sort of trying to keep security front of mind in courthouses across the state. And then during the State of the Tribes address, Standing Rock Chairman Mike Faith really urged lawmakers to pass a bill that failed in the House last year, which is the Ocheti Chacoan community-based schools. It passed the Senate last year unanimously, but then died in House Education after there were concerns about how proposal would sort of roll out. And another thing that Mike Faith talked about was climate change. And that's not something that generally gets brought up in the State House all that much. He talked about how, even over the last 10 years that weather was changing. And, he made those comments right before that nasty windstorm that swept through the state, which caused at least one large prairie fire outside of Lemon. And then there was also some smoke out by the Oahe Dam in the Pierre Fort Pierre area. You know, and in January of all times, you know, we've had such a mild winter thus far, and it's been very dry. So he really brought that up, and you know, not that the state legislature does much with climate change, but he really wanted to make sure that people heard what he had to say about the changing weather.
So Governor Kristi Noem was not at the State of the Tribes. Is that unusual? Is that usual? And how was that received in Pierre?
I did not see her at the State of the Tribes. Usually when the governor sits down for, you know, any of the other addresses, she sat sort of directly across all the way at the end of the House, facing the lectern where generally the Speaker of the House stands, or in the case of these addresses, where, you know, the Chief Justice stood, or a various tribal chairman. I'm having trouble really recalling if she had attended any of the others, and so that I cannot say for sure. She was at State of the Judiciary, but I did not see her at the State of the Tribes address, and I'm also struggling to remember if Dugard attended those State of the Tribes addresses as well. I believe he did, sure. But I cannot recall.
What are you looking to this week? What are we kind of, you know, it's a kind of a slow start to the week with the holiday and with lawmakers easing into the work that's ahead. What's the preview from your end?
Right. I mean, to sort of emphasize how slow it is thus far, you know, both chambers are literally going to gavel in for the first reading of bills that are starting to trickle in, and then basically say, hey, we have committees meeting tomorrow morning, and that's going to be their work as they convene together today. You know, there are bills that are starting to drop, and we're starting to get, you know, somewhat of a picture of what this session will look like. Three bills that have kind of caught my eye thus far are all being brought by Republican State Representative Fred Deutsch out of Watertown. One of them is a bill that would essentially allow the Attorney General's office to recover the costs for defending certain initiated amendments in court. If you'll recall, the Attorney General's office is defending Amendment A, which was passed by voters. That was a measure to legalize recreational medical marijuana, as well as industrial hemp, and to put that into the state constitution that's being challenged in court, and was authorized to be challenged in court by the governor's office. And so this is one of those bills to sort of recoup the cost that the attorney general's office is will have in terms of that.
And yeah, then I'm going to jump in here real quickly and come back to you on that, because before we get further down that road, I want to bring Jackie Hendry into the conversation and circle back to something Lee kind of teed up, which is about this civics conversation and the renewed interest in Governor Noem in the 2021 session. This is something you and I talked about in 2020, of course, and as host of South Dakota Focus, you're looking at civics education this week. Tell us a little bit about the upcoming show and some of the things you're putting together early in the week that explore this idea of civics in South Dakota, Jackie.
Right. You're right. This isn't the first time we've talked about civics education in the legislative session. Folks might remember in Governor Noem's first State of the State address, she proposed requiring high school students to pass the U.S. citizenship test in order to graduate from high school. That was met by a standing ovation from lawmakers, a lot of support initially. That bill and several others related to civics education ended up not passing that particular year because upon further or closer examination of existing state standards for social studies education in the state, really everything covered by that test students would have already seen probably multiple times by the time they were seniors in high school. So there wasn't a whole lot of support for adding one more test. If listeners heard your conversation with Secretary Tiffany Sanderson of the Department of Education, she talked a little bit about how this year it seems the move is away from adding another test and more towards that $900,000 to develop classroom curriculum to be made available to teachers, some conversation about what teachers are, how they're being trained to teach things like debate and stuff like this. So coming up on Thursday, we are going to kind of dive into tracking for folks how it's decided, how we go from, you know, state standards determined at the state level to what, you know, your fifth grader is reading in their Sioux Falls social studies classroom, for instance. It's a lengthy process, goes through a review on a certain number of year cycle. I think it's 5-year cycle or 7-year cycle. This morning, I had a Zoom interview that we'll show viewers on Thursday with Tim Eckert. He's the president of the Sioux Falls Education Association. He kind of talks through that decision-making process and how teachers come up with what they're bringing into the classroom, and also saying, you know, he doesn't really see that training gap when it comes to how educators are being trained in the state with existing requirements and things like that. So that's going to be part of our conversation. And also we're going to highlight Pat Ganey from the Spearfish School District. His students have seen a lot of success in this We the People competition, which basically takes the form of a mock congressional hearing where students have to really engage with how the Constitution was framed, certain principles dealing with this. So, but a lot of the question seems to be, you know, in that 2019 push, the governor had a very specific recommendation, pass the U.S. citizenship test. In this most recent state of the state, not much in the way of specifics, just kind of talking about a perceived need for students to better understand America being special. So far, the educators I've talked to aren't really sure what to make of that, just because there aren't any specifics. And when we talked to lawmakers immediately after the state of the state, it was much the same. No bill has yet been brought forth. That curriculum hasn't yet been put forth. So that's going to be kind of our lead-off conversation on Thursday.
Lots more to talk about with that. And what I love about this, Seth, and I want to bring you in next, is, you know, this idea of how we got here. And we look at, you know, what was the conversation last year regarding civics? And you also have, for this week's focus, you've been doing some work on how we got here regarding another topic. Tell us a little bit about that, what you've been exploring regarding state airplanes.
Yeah, we'll have a segment on Focus called Why Is That this winter. Just looking at the backstory behind some current issues. And the one I looked at first was Governor Noem and her budget address in December proposed selling two planes from the state's executive branch fleet and buying another. And that would have a net cost of $5 million. We don't know much more about that yet, but when she talked in her budget address, here's what she said about why it was necessary.
As planes age, they require more frequent, complex, and very expensive maintenance. The state's top priority when considering aircraft must be safety.
And then she also alluded to the 1993 crash that killed Governor George Mikkelsen.
We all know that South Dakota tragically lost a governor, two state commissioners, three chief executives, and two pilots 27 years ago. They died in service to our great state.
And so what I looked at in my segment was the fact that we don't know if this is going to get controversial, you know, this session, if there'll be any pushback on this proposal to spend money on state airplanes. But there have been numerous controversies going all the way back to George Mikkelsen's father, George T. Mikkelsen, who was governor in the 40s and 50s. And moving forward from him, Governors Knipe and Janklow and Rounds all had controversies with state airplanes. Because there was pushback about them being too extravagant or unnecessary, or they were using the planes improperly. And I talked to Harry Christensen, was one of the sources for the piece. He worked in the Janklow administration. He lives in Rapid City now, and then he was a lobbyist for several decades. And I asked him why he thinks the state airplane fleet is so often a controversial topic.
Quite frankly, most South Dakotans have not flown in a private aircraft, particularly a corporate-sized cabin-class airplane. And so it was always a popular thing to criticize the acquisition or the use of the state plane.
And so I love that. Of course.
We'll wait to see if that happens. Haven't seen a bill on it yet. It could be that that'll be tackled as part of the broader appropriations bill and including that money for the state plane purchase.
Seth, what are some of the things that you've got your eyes on already? Are you seeing bills that are intriguing right now?
Yeah, well, as Lee mentioned earlier, there's several bills on initiated measures and ballot measures. And one of them was one of the most recent ones filed that was a little bit odd this morning, or kind of noteworthy for its oddness, was Senator Al Novsrup filed a bill to require initiated measure petitions to have at least a 12-point font size. That's it. We'll have to wait and see from him if there's been a problem with, 10-point font sizes on the petitions that they use to get signatures to put things on the ballot, or what the problem is there. But that goes along with some things that that Lee mentioned from Representative Fred Deutsch to change the initiative and the initiated measure process and related things.
All right. Well, these journalists are on the job for you every day for the state legislative session, and we'll hear from them throughout the week and early in each week for our roundtable gathering. Lee Strubinger, thanks so much.
Yeah, good to be here. Thanks.
Seth, thank you.
You're welcome.
Jackie, always a pleasure. Thanks.
Thanks, Lori. Bye.